It's good to be here. Not good to be up here, but it's good to be here. Me in San Antonio. When I get nervous, I giggle. And actually, I was doing pretty good tonight. I was just sort of serious, you know, and then I could feel Michael's eyes on me. I wasn't looking at him, but I could see he was looking at me. I looked over and he got me started giggling. And it made me think of when they were little, him and Wendy, I'd have to get after him, but it's terrible because I would giggle and I knew it was serious. I was, you know, being serious about getting after him, but for some reason I start giggling. So I would look down at the floor and get after him, but they knew. And so they, you know, like that, and made me laugh worse. And it just, you know, I thought that he was old enough to know not to do that to me when I was nervous, but, it's a blessing actually when I see Michael up here, it's a real blessing to me because, to see him preaching. I was thinking the other night when he was preaching, when he was talking about laying the ground for your children, and, you know, made me remember when he was little, and he'd get all kids play church, but Wendy and I usually were his audience, and he'd get a little coffee table thing and preach, and it's just such a blessing to see him really preaching now and give his life, because he's, like Bill Lindell said this morning, he's young, and most guys his age, 19, are not really preaching the gospel. That's not what their first concern is. And it's a real blessing to see that, and I'm going to be a proud grandmother in November, too. Mike gave a study a while back in San Luis about the different calls, and I think I remember all but one, but anyway. And it really hit me because mainly one, it was the call from above, the call from within, the call from below, and I never can remember the other one. But the one that really hit me was the call from below, and Billy shared, I guess it was last night, about are we really aware of hell, or how aware are we, or how much do we believe in it? I forgot how he put it, but, you know, the whole point was how aware are we of it? And I know in myself, at least, I know there's a hell, I believe there's a hell, and yet I'm not really that aware of it because I'm not that concerned about the people. Like I said, people dying every day, and yet, you know, when Brent's about the obituaries, you know, people laugh about people that read the obituaries. My grandfather says that he reads them every day to make sure that his name's not in there. And, but you know, how many of us really look at him and say, that's another person that's gone to hell. I saw, a picture in the paper. Michael came up for Christine's wedding, and Wendy and Marco came with him. And when I got home that day, Mike said, guess who just called? And I had just seen the picture in the paper of a wreck, real bad wreck. And, you know, I just thought the worst. I thought, you know, because the weather had been real bad, and that's what I thought. But this picture was you couldn't even tell it was a car. It had two front seats on the highway. That's all that was left of the car. And there was eight people, eight bodies running around. And I thought that was awful, but I really didn't think, you know, eight people went to hell, most likely. And I want to get my eyes on really being concerned, more concerned, you know, really concerned. And when Mike shared about the call from below about the rich man, he didn't believe the prophets when they were there. But when he went to hell, it says he asked for a drop of water. And when they said no, he said, well, then at least send Lazarus to my family so they don't come here. He was a little bit concerned about his family. He didn't want them to go there. And they told him, you know, they have the prophets. And I was just thinking, he didn't believe in his lifetime. You know, he probably laughed at him or at least didn't pay attention. But it really hit me that I really hadn't realized that he had said, you know, send someone to my people. He was concerned. Send someone to my family. I wanted to, in Acts 4, verse 4, and just the preaching of the gospel, the guys go out and preach, and I know they get tired because so many times there's no results. Michael said that he's not, you know, he's just sowing the seed and he doesn't expect a lot. But yet at the same time, we do. I mean, you get discouraged when you don't see any interest. You know, they'd rather see someone mad because at least they know they listened. Because when they say, oh, that was really pretty, we know they didn't listen, you know. And just, it says here, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Then verse 7, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? In verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And it's just a real blessing to see that there's others, people. I really enjoy listening to the brother just spoke, that there's others that are going out just like we are and preaching to the street, preaching to people, because a lot of people tell us, you know, bring them into your meetings and then tell them about the images. You know, don't speak so harsh out front. But the people aren't going to come in. You're not going to get these Catholic people into a building. You know, they need to hear it when you're going by. And it says here that many believed. And also they asked, and by whose name do you do this? And it's just a real blessing to be able to say, you know, we come in the name of God. We were talking during the days of Getting Lake, you know, about David and how he went in the name of God. Those stones themselves didn't kill the giant. It was he went in the name of the Lord. They dared defy his God, and he went in the name of the Lord. And that's whose name we go in. These people, it really hit me that they, you know, they knew that it was right. They said, we can't deny this. We've seen it with our eyes. We can't deny it, but we don't want it spread any further. And so much of that, you know, that we see it in Christians. To me, it's sad down there when Christians themselves come to us and say, you know, please don't speak so harshly. And I think, you know, what is this? What do you, you know, what is your point of being here? And when people from the world, you know, they try to come and stop you, you understand that a little more. But when it's Christians coming and telling you, which Billy and the guys had that in Leon, you know, calm it down a little bit. And it's kind of sad to see that instead of them backing you. Then in 5:27, it says, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. And then 38, it says, and now saying to you, refrain from these men and let them alone. They were trying to get him kicked out, and this one man told him this, said, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And then it says 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Amen. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The two words that stuck out to me were, they filled Jerusalem with the doctrine, and that they ceased not. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. They were imprisoned between what I read you first and what I read second. They were imprisoned, and the angel let them out, and they kept on preaching. And I just wonder if we had really that kind of... The guys have been, you know, taken to jail a couple of times, but we really haven't had the kind of persecution that these apostles had. But it says that they filled Jerusalem, and when Michael the Unite said that, you know, the ones that turned the world upside down, and it reminded me of this verse, that they filled Jerusalem. They went out, and they didn't obviously do it in a closed-in place with just a few people. I mean, it says they filled it. They went out and filled the city, and it says they ceased not. In 1 Corinthians 9... there's a brother in Leon in Aguas, I believe, Alex, that has been, I think they told me that he gets put in jail every weekend because, you know, and they pretty much have his bed ready kind of because he, you know, he doesn't have the money to give him to get out, so he just spends the night. But he's faithful, and that's been a real blessing to us. He's come and spoken in San Luis, and the young brothers have really, it's been a blessing to them to see someone that is willing. And they haven't beaten him, I don't think, but he's been put in jail every weekend, and he's got a family and kids, you know, and I'm sure that the wife gets worried, but he gets out of jail and goes back to preaching, and they just stick him back in and back out. And that's what the apostles did, and Alex is doing the same thing. He's ceasing not. 9:16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. And I was thinking, there's been several people have mentioned, you know, the sacrifices that the missionaries make to go. And I'm not going to say we don't. I mean, sacrifices, you know, as we call them. Because really, compared to what the Lord did, I mean, it's really nothing. But it is true we do sacrifice in a lot of different ways. And yet at the same time, I mean, you lose your children earlier because they want to go to college, so they come up earlier. And there's just a lot of little things that probably y'all don't think about. And yet... it got me thinking, do we really sacrifice? I mean, are we patting ourselves on the back because we're giving up so much? And it made me think of the verses. Let me see if I can remember where they are. Luke 17. And it's really been a bummer that we, at least that I, realize that I'm not doing anything so great. We're really not doing anything so great. Because it says in Luke 17, 9 and 10, it says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't know what this word is, so I'm not sure I say it. I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that verse has really hit me because so many times we think we've made so many sacrifices, and maybe we don't pat ourselves on the back, but sometimes we get down, or I get to missing my daughter, and things that I, just material things that I don't get to have or get to do. And I realized then what the Lord gave up for me, what he did. He knew he was going to suffer, really suffer. He went to hell for me. And yet the little sacrifices I make, I think of them as so great. And it says here that we've only done that which is our duty to do. If, he's not patting us on the back. And it says in Matthew, go ye. He didn't say, would you sacrifice and go? He said, go. The brother says he got saved and he, knew he was going to go preach. And yet we see that, or at least I see it, as I really sacrificed. But it says here that we've done that which was our duty to do. And it's a burden on my heart, at least for me, to see this, as to be really aware of hell, and at the same time realize that we're just doing our duty. Amen. I mean, we're not doing anything great. He said, go ye. And we've gone. All we've done is obey. It says, will he thank the servant because he did those things which he commanded? He commanded, go ye. And we did them. Are we expecting a thanks from God? Are we expecting him to make things easy for us? We talked about the offerings and all that. Well, are we expecting all that because we're doing something great for God? It says that we did only that which is, we're doing that which is our duty to do. And I know I can't say I'm doing that, but I want to get to the point that I can say, hey, I'm just doing this. This is what he told us to do. And I'm doing so little compared to what he did for me. And I thank the Lord that he's given us the opportunity to be missionaries and to come from a church which not only supports us with their offerings, but with their prayers, and to know that they're concerned. And it was, like I said, a real blessing to see, because sometimes we know the missionaries that are down in Mexico, at least we know each other, we kind of know what's going on, but it's good to see that in some other part of the world, someone else is living like us by faith, trusting the Lord, and that they're reaching people. Just to hear that, when he left, there was a church there. And it's encouraging, because sometimes you think, is anything happening? Is anything happening? But the Lord is giving fruit, and he's faithful.